Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath, and greeting to those of you who are watching on the webcast. Those of you who are part of the baby boomer generation will remember Woodstock, songs such as "Your Cheating Heart Will Tell on You" by Hank Williams. And another one, "Please Release Me, Let Me Go, I Don't Love You Anymore" by Jim Reeves. Or songs that were produced later, one by Marvin Gaye, "Let's Get It On." Or one by Roberta Flack, "Feel Like Making Love." Other songs that were popular a few decades ago were "If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right," even though mother and dad says it's a sin, but "If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right." And another one, "Me and Mrs. Jones, We Got a Good Thing Going." All these songs were about fornication and about adultery. And they had a lot to do with changing our culture. And it became acceptable to live together. And back in the 60s and 70s, it was known as shacking up. It became acceptable to have a girlfriend on the side, even though you're married. And as teenagers, many of us, prior to coming into church, we enjoyed listening to these songs. They made us, we liked the lyrics, we liked the beat, and it made us move around and dance, and we didn't sit like a knot on a log, we moved. But it wasn't until we came into church and were told that we need to listen to the words, what they're describing, and I'm sure most of you were surprised at what we were listening to, what it was describing, fornication, adultery. Today, we live in a culture where any type of or style of life is acceptable. Any type of religious worship is acceptable. The question I have this morning is, how do we avoid blending into this culture, which looks upon God's laws as being not important or out of date? My title is "A Culture Crisis." The word "culture," as defined by WespersDictionary.com, is a belief, customs, arts, etc., of a particular society, group, at a particular place or time, a particular society that has its own beliefs, ways of life, and ways of thinking. Here are two additional definitions: the totality of belief, behaviors, tradition, and products of any society. High personal standards, moral manners, enlightenment. And these are things that are missing in our society today. Two writers recently wrote about the problems in our culture. One, a progressive Christian writer, Rachel Evans, who published a widely shared and widely read piece in the Washington Post, decrying the evangelical church's shadow attempt to appeal to millennials by trying to make church cool. The church's attempt to make church exciting by having a party atmosphere, which is anything but the traditional church service. Evan believes the church shouldn't reform its style, but rather its substance, by becoming, in essence, traditionally progressive. In other words, keep the ancient styles, but change the ancient beliefs. We may ask, how is that possible for anyone to form a religion that fits their style or their life? And it certainly is not what the Bible instructs us to do. One of my co-workers recently commented that she was on a mission to find a church that fits her style or her belief system. The church that she was attending, she stated that there's too much drama. They spent all their time gossiping and talking about things and not applying the things that they were hearing from the pulpit. And this is a Sunday day worship service. In a previous article for CNN, Mrs. Evans set forth a litany of millennial demands. Number one, we want an end to the culture wars. We want a truth between science and faith. We want to be known for what we stand for, not for what we are against. We want to ask questions that don't have predetermined answers. And we all understand that the Bible is the place where we look for answers to our problems in everyday life. Continuing on, we want churches that emphasize an allegiance to the kingdom of God over an allegiance to a single political party or a single nation. We want our LGBT friends to feel truly welcome in our faith communities. For those of you who may not know those letters, it stands for lesbian, gays, bisexual, and transgender. The same co-workers stated at one of the church meetings that she attended, after the church service, they had a discussion about same-sex marriage. And the discussion from most stated that they disagree with same-sex marriage, but they felt that their leaders, the bishops and the president of the of their church group, were pushing the acceptance of gay marriage, and that they in turn are being pushed by the politicians. And we all understand that those of us who are true Christians are led by God's Spirit, and we have God's view. And that God wants everyone to be saved. He does not want anyone who practices a life of sin in his church or his kingdom. Continuing on with Mrs. Evans' comment, another point. We want to be challenged to live our lives of holiness, not only when it comes to sex, but also when it comes to living simple, caring for the poor and the oppressed. She goes on to say, this isn't a theological statement. It's a progressive writer's wish list. Evans' fervent belief is that the key to unlocking the millennial energy, spiritual energy, is found in the old ways, not its actual belief, just the trappings of faith. She goes on to state that this generation, speaking of the millennials, is okay with dabbling a little bit, and she doesn't think that there's any reason to look down upon them. By dabbling, I mean they take some of the Catholic, they take some of the Methodists, they take some of the Baptists or the Presbyterian and blend it together to form a religion. Another writer, Andrew Griswold, who has served as a research assistant to the president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy, and he is also a media reporter at the Daily Caller. He noted that liberalization, especially on matters of sexual morality, was the single best way to shrink your church. The numbers he conveys are startling. The Episcopalian Church between 2002 and 2012 lost 18.4% of its members, and its church attendance declined by 24.4%. He goes on to state that the decade-long reality of American spiritual life is the loss of spiritual consensus and the growth of two intellectual and theological competitive cultural tribes. Religious conservatives and those who reject all forms of religious worship. As Griswold notes, culturally conservative churches, such as the Assembly of God and the Mormon Church, were exception to the rule. They enjoyed strong growth. And he goes on to say, these are liberals who long for the church to change, but that because they want it to completely disappear. Many of you remember the Beatles and the three guys or four guys on the Beatles. One, John Lennon, he sung a song, Imagine. And I've heard of it, but I never knew that. He said that, imagine a time with no religion. If there is no religion, we are free to do whatever we want to do. And we do whatever what it seems right in our own eyes, as Judges 17, verse 6 states. But we also must realize that choices have consequences. In young men, people out looking for jobs, on some of the applications, they are asked what religious affiliation do they have, and none is checked more often. The nuns are on the rise, with 46 million Americans identifying as religiously unaffiliated, according to Pew Research Group. These individuals are not actually looking for religion that's right for them. For the moment, they're not longing or looking for a church. What is not stated here is that parents and churches have not taught their children about God. Many school kids do not believe in God. And as many of you know, my wife is a teacher, and she said that many of the kids in the school don't have any idea about God, but they know about evolution, because my generation, and the previous generation, and maybe the generation behind me, they attend church and they taught their children when they had a close-knit family. But today, nobody wants religion. So the children, and school children especially, are ignorant as to where life comes from, what, you know, anything that connects to religion. We, as God's people, cannot allow that to happen in the church. We have a material and information to help us as parents and grandparents, if we have access to our grandchildren, to teach them, to avoid them growing up not knowing about God. In an article written on the United Church of God's website, written by Steve Britt, one of the points he makes is that we as a nation do not teach our children about God. We do not follow God's commandments. We do not study the Bible. When we as a nation do not follow God, whether it's individuals or a nation, we pay a price for it. Mr. Griswold, who I quoted earlier, comments that we are headed for more cultural conflicts, more cultural divisions, with only one certain path to extension: theological liberalization and cultural conformity, meaning we conform to whatever the idea or whatever the opinion is in society today. There are liberals who long for the church to change, but that because they long for it to totally disappear. In an article written by Mr. Dan Hooser, a minister in the United Church of God, in January of 2012, titled America's Culture Crusades Cascades Downward, and we ought to learn to swim upstream. He quotes Judge Robert Bork on the decline of the Western culture in his book, written in 1996, Slouching Towards Gomorrah. He states that the foundation of any culture is its morality, and America's morality is spiraling downward. And that was 19 years ago, and we know it has rapidly spiraled down recently. We have unrestrained individualism, which is leading to unabashed self-indulgence. We all, as members of God's church, realize that the person that has the most influence or positive impact on the Western world culture is Jesus Christ. The book that has the greatest impact is the Bible. And especially nations or descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are drifting far, far away from that. We all understand that culture decline is all around us. It encompasses everything. It's in the rising crime rate, violence, disrespect for law and authority, dishonesty, breakdown of the family, divorce, children with no fathers, alcohol and drug abuse, and political correctness, and over-biblical correctness, racial tension. All of these have increased in recent years. And we live in a hyper-sexualized society, riddled with immorality, shameless, immodesty, and adultery, pornography, prostitution, and the promotion of the gay lifestyle agenda, confusion over gender identity, on all kinds of indecency, which has gotten a push with the Supreme Court ruling in June. Dr. Don Ward, in a sermon he gave last month titled A Day of Infamy, from the President Franklin Delano Roosevelt speech after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. But he saying that the court decision in June was a day of infamy. And he went on to state that any male born in this society today will have a difficult time maintaining a masculinity approach because of what is taught in school and the peer pressure. Unless there is a heavy influence of a male father figure. The Apostle Paul gives us this prophecy of the culture decline in our society today. Let's read it in 2 Timothy 3. Verse 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous time will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such turn away. This is largely describes our society today. In verse 5, where Paul asks and for us to turn away from these type of people, we must not run with them or be yoked with them, because evil company corrupts good habits. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Life Application Study Bible comments on verse 5 of 2 Timothy 3. The form or appearance of godliness includes going to church, knowing Christian doctrine, using Christian cliches, and following a community of Christian traditions. Such practice can make a person look good, but if the inner attitudes and beliefs of love, worship are lacking, the outer appearance is meaningless. Whereas in 1 Peter 4 and verse 4, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Adam Clark comments on this verse in 1 Peter 4, 4. They think it strange. They wonder and are astonished at you, that you can renounce these gratifications of the flesh for something spiritual, the good of which they cannot see. At the same time, we are to love them, be kind to them, and look for opportunities to steer them in the right direction. Or in other words, sort of be a light. Philippians 2:15 sums it up well. Philippians 2 and verse 15. Philippians 2 verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. In Romans 1, Paul describes what is happening in our culture today. When people glorify the pagan theory of evolution rather than the Creator God. In our society today, we are putting more emphasis on protecting endangered species more than worshiping the Creator. As Romans 1 and verse 25 brings out. Many of you have heard about the hunter or the dentist from Minnesota that went to Africa and killed this special lion. It seems that society is treating him as some outcast, but yet still there are abortions every day in this country and around the world where human lives are being taken, where these animals can't think, can't reason, whereas humans can. And the alleged charge against Planned Parenthood. Let me get the right pronunciation. Planned Parenthood allegedly selling body parts of aborted babies. And these are babies that are not something a little tiny thing. It's further along in their development, where the organs can be taken out and whatever, sold. The remainder of the chapter describes the consequences, the vices of evil, and the perversion that are increasingly prevalent today in our society. Let's read it in Romans 1, verse 24, 26, and 27. Romans 1, verse 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in lusts of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And verse 27. Likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lusts for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. A comment from CNSnews.com from Dr. Paul R. McHugh, a former psychiatrist in chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital and its current distinguished service professor of psychiatry. He said that the transgenderism is a mental disorder and merits treatment that sex change, and he stated that sex change is biologically impossible, and that people who promote this reassignment surgery are collaborating with and promoting this mental disorder. Sex change is, from his words, biologically impossible. People who undergo sex reassignment surgery do not change from men to women or vice versa. Rather, they become feminized men or masculinized women. They claim, or by the fact that they claim that this is a civil right issue, is encouraging this surgical intervention, is in reality to collaborate and promote a mental disorder. Everyone is seeing Bruce Jenner, who is now, as far as his physical appearance outside, looks like a woman. Quoting from Life Application Study Bible, verses 28 and 27 of Romans 1, God's plan for natural sexual relationship is his ideal of creation. Unfortunately, sin distorts the natural use of God's gift. Quoting from Barnes' Notes on the Bible, on verse 28, to the part of verse 28 that says, to retain God, to think of him, or to serve him and to adore him. This was the first step in their sin. It was not that God compelled them or that he did not give them knowledge, nor even as it said that he arbitrarily abandoned them as the first step, but that they as a nation, or we as a people, forsake him, and as a consequence he gave them up to a reprobate mind. Sin often means denying God, but it also is denying the way that we as human beings were made. When people say any sex act is acceptable as long as nobody gets hurt, and I hear that comment at work where people will say, as long as they don't come near my door, they don't bother me, I don't care what they do, but it does affect all of us. In the long run, sin hurts people, individuals, families, and the whole society. Paul's prescription is this in Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Quoting from Barnes' notes on the Bible on the phrase acceptable from Romans 12:2, that which becomes pleasing to God or which he will approve. It involves the main duty of religion to be separate from the world and expressed in a way which the duty may be performed and in which we may live so as to assert and do the will of God. If all Christians would obey this, religion would be everywhere honored. If all would separate there from vices and follies, the amusement and gaieties of the world, Christ would be glorified. If all were truly renewed in their minds, they would lose their relish for such things as seeking only to do the will of God. They would be not slow to find it. The word counterculture usually refers to a rebellious subculture, but it can also have a positive meaning too. Each of us choose to be a part of God's counterculture, meaning going against what's in society around us. We are to live by every word of God, and as Luke 4:4 points out. As society continues to become like a polluted, filthy river or an outside toilet, it is no time to float. We must all swim upstream. In this week's e-news from the Home Office, Mr. Holliday commented about our responsibility in this society that we must live in, and that we must be guided by eternal values, principles taught in the Word of God, not on secular humanism and the culture of the day. We all need to discern what's right from what is wrong. And he states that Paul expressed it this way in Hebrews 5 and verse 14. Hebrews 5 and verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good, to discern both good and evil. We should all not vacillate between two opinions. There is coming a wonderful cultural revolution. We all are looking forward to that day. Jesus Christ promised that he would come again to the earth and set up his everlasting kingdom. John 14 and verse 3. Let's turn over there. John 14 and verse 3. Verse 3 of John 14. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When Christ is ruling the whole world, all people will live in peace and joy. The best single way to describe the world's culture will be righteousness in Isaiah 61 and verse 11. Let's turn over there. Isaiah 66 and verse 61 and verse 11. Verse 11 of Isaiah 61. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to be sprang forth before all nations. Imagine a world. Imagine what the world will be like. The many regional cultures of the world will be united under the overall culture of God's word and his laws. The world and our society desperately needs that cultural revelation. It is coming soon.